The Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Michael Roizen. And check out Dr. Oz and Dr. Roizen's website, youbeauty.com. Here are Joe Galewski, Dr. Deb Lonser, and of course, Dr. Michael Roizen, MD.
Thanks for listening today. It's the passionate radio show that helps you take control of your genes to become the world expert on your body. It's you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Mike Roizen, Chief Wellness Officer at Cleveland Clinic. I'm Joe Galewski, and thanks for listening here today. To reach Dr. Mike on the phone, it's 877-711-5211 on the email, udocs@gmail.com, youdocs@gmail.com. If you miss a show, miss an interview, miss a real age tip, you don't miss it. RadioMD.com. Just go there and find it, and you can listen over and over and over again. At 20 after the hour, Dr. Gary Ginsberg in this hour, toxicologist. It's spring, time to get caught up on what you need to know about Lyme disease, tick bites, and DEET, the spray DEET. Also, the problem still exists for victims of the World Trade Center, and there are problems with continuing cancer concerns. Speaking of cancer, is there a link between cancer and microwave popcorn? That's Dr. Ginsberg at 20 after the hour. 34 after the hour, straight talk from the docs, Dr. Mike and Dr. Arthur Perry. What are we going to hear about today?
Two things. One is stem cell face transplants. Is it right to take your stem cells, do something with them, and put them on your face, and will that make you look younger, be younger, and correct any problems you have, like wrinkles? We'll hear from Arthur on what the data is. And the second is a really important one, the sunscreen, sunblocks, et cetera, sold. Arthur said 8 out of the leading 15 are endocrine disruptors or have endocrine disruptors in them. You want to avoid those, and we'll tell you what to look for so that you get sunblock that helps you protect you against cancer, protect you against skin wrinkling and other problems, but at the same time doesn't cause you any problems.
That's straight talk from the docs at about 35 after the hour. Here on You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show, and Dr. Mike's Real Age Tip of the Week coming up for the hour. What do you think about this 15-year-old? Dr. Mike claims he's found a new test for early, reliable detection of certain forms of cancers. Do you think it's possible?
I love this story. I'm going to post it, the video, the YouTube video, on my Facebook page. It is a marvelous study. The kid only used 8 months. I mean, he literally 8 months ago didn't, or actually it was now 15 months ago, did not know that prostate cancer was a disease. But one of his friend's fathers got it, got prostate cancer, got pancreatic cancer. Did I say prostate? Got pancreatic cancer. Literally died in a very short period of time. And he said, what could cause a guy who was robust to all of a sudden die and they not detect it till it was too late to really do anything about it? And so he said, I've got to find this. And only using Google and Wikipedia, I love this, Google and Wikipedia, he found the protein that is released early in pancreatic, lung, and ovarian cancer. Three cancers, very tough to diagnose early. So he found something that's released early, a protein, mesothelin. Then he found a way of linking it to an easy test, an antibody to it, or a, if you will, a key that fits into its lock, or it's the lock and it's the key and it fits into the why am I having trouble here? It fits into the lock of this antibody, and then he then found a electromagnetic system that changes color when the antibody, when the key and lock get together, if you will, that lights up on a little piece of paper, and you can breathe on it or put or filter blood over it through it. And so you take a sample of blood, you put it through this, it changes color, and you know you've got the disease, or if it doesn't change its color, you don't. And it's a very quick, easy test.
It's crazy.
He said it cost him about 75 cents to make one of these, if you will. And obviously, it'll get cheaper as you do more production of it. And seems to have about a 90% reliability. The best of the current tests is about 70% reliable. So it's more reliable, cheaper, easier to do.
He actually said that the test costs 3 cents, which is even crazier. 3 cents.
No, but when you look at all the real costs of linking the antibody with this thing, and you put blood through it, you got to have blood collected, et cetera. When you get the final cost, if someone isn't donating their time free to do the test, it's about a 75-cent test.
All right, so all the radiothons and telethons, all the billions and billions of dollars we spent on research for detecting these kind of things, and a 15-year-old comes up with this at a cost of 3 cents.
Isn't that wonderful?
Well, no, the question now is, where do you go from here? Does it have any sea legs?
Oh, yeah. There will be a whole bunch of companies trying to get to the kid and commercialize it with him. If he's got a patent on it.
Hopefully he does.
And I don't know.
There's a profit motive is what I'm trying to say.
That companies will have a profit motive, but they'll do it inexpensively. I mean, this is, you know, we do a ton of tests. The carcinoembryonic antigen, which is the current way we detect this, which is lousy. It's sensitivity and specificity, meaning 70% of the time if it'll be positive if you've got the disease, but it's positive about 30% of the time if you don't have the disease. So it's a really lousy test compared to this. And this will be about the same, I imagine, cost in clinical practice. And if it's positive, you know, if you're at high risk for lung, or if you're at high risk of pancreatic, or maybe you get it once a year if you've got a history of the genetic abnormality in ovarian. This will simplify things so much for ovarian cancer. If it really has that sensitivity in large-scale testing, when you do this, it'll be magnificent.
But, Joe, you make a good point about how all of these scientists, they spend millions of dollars in grants, and they try and find all of these things, and maybe they're just... Look, they're overlooking it. And I kind of feel the same way, even talking about what Dr. Miller was saying in her book with fruits and vegetables and just having people farm instead of the millions of dollars that are spent on public health campaigns. Like, maybe we're just overlooking all these things.
Well, sometimes it takes somebody like this to, find the obvious out. Would somebody like this, would this young man be a candidate for a Nobel Award?
Well, there's a lot to go do between now is this... I mean, he says it can detect it at this rate. There's a lot of testing that needs to be done in normal people to make sure it doesn't give false positives, et cetera. So what you want is a test that is positive in the disease. He says it's 90% and is negative in health. We don't know that yet. But assuming that works, this is a great test. And it's not quite of Nobel Prize characteristics, but it's important.
Yeah, and it's just a basic science fair experiment, it turned out to be.
Isn't
something
that wonderful?
He exhibited at a science fair. Just crazy. Very good. Very, very promising.
I can't tell you how wonderful I think that is.
The clean your plate rule. Don't leave the table till you clean your plate. Parents, they still do this? And is that a good thing for parents to do to their kids?
Well, I look at it as there's some good and some bad in this. One is it says that you should only take as much as you shouldn't take extra stuff that you're going to throw away. So that's the good news. This is a study from 2009 to 2010, 2,200 teens, average age 14.4, nearly 3,500 parents. And the restrictive food behaviors were more common in parents who had overweight or obese. Pressure to eat behaviors were more common in parents of children who were normal weight, if you will. And I think, what was the finding? What percent of parents did this? I think it was 2/3 of parents had a clean the plate rule. Really?
Yeah, something like that. I don't
really, what?
I don't remember what it is.
Really
exactly
much was. Higher than you would expect. That was the rule in my day. Didn't your mom say there were starving kids in China or India or someplace?
Yeah. Yep.
Well, only take what you need.
Especially because it's totally different than when you guys were growing up. The serving sizes are so much bigger that you can't. It's not a good rule.
I think she's telling us we're old guys.
Yeah.
No, even when even comparing it to when I was growing up, portion sizes were much smaller then, too.
All right, we'll be back. Dr. Gary Ginsberg, toxicologist. It's spring. We'll give you a primer on Lyme disease, more problems with victims of the World Trade Center, and microwave popcorn and cancer. Is there a connection? Dr. G, next. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Michael Roizen on Radio MD. Stay well.
Hi, this is Melanie Cole, show host here at Radio MD and a mother of two. I want parents to know about Great Start Life Insurance offered by Guarantee Trust Life Insurance Company. Great Start ensures the future insurability of your children. Now, what does that mean? Too often, people will get an illness or an injury at some point in their lives that afterwards can preclude them from receiving life insurance, and that can cause a lot of problems. But by insuring your children now with the Great Start Plan, the insurance that grows with your children, they'll already be insured regardless of future illness or injury. Find out all about the great benefits of the Great Start Plan. Go to GreatStartGTL.com and see for yourself why Great Start is, well, a great start for your kids. Peace of mind at GreatStartGTL.com. That's GreatStartGTL.com. For the Great Start Plan, go to GreatStartGTL.com.
Plan not available in all states. Life insurance underwritten by Guaranteed Trust Life Insurance Company, Glenview, Illinois.
Hi, I'm Dr. Regina Benjamin, U.S. Surgeon General. As a family doctor, I've seen the terrible impact of a premature birth. Losing a baby is one of the hardest things a family can go through. As Surgeon General, I see the toll that premature births have on our nation. It can cause lifelong disabilities. It is the leading cause of death in newborns. And our country has one of the highest rates of preterm birth in the world. We must do better. Hospitals need to ensure that babies are delivered early, only when medically necessary. We need research to find the causes of premature birth and research to find new ways to prevent it. Couples need to learn the risk of premature birth and what they can do to have a full-term baby, such as getting a preconception checkup. Remember, 40 weeks is a full-term pregnancy, and every week of pregnancy counts. Let's work together for stronger, healthier babies.
I can solve difficult problems for a Fortune 500 company.
I can run a successful business.
I can put my military experience to work for your company.
I can manage your home improvements.
I can publicize a message.
I can teach your children.
But I can't put my skills to work for your organization
if I'm not given the opportunity.
Nearly 50 million Americans have disabilities. Capitalize on their talents with employment practices that benefit everyone. Learn more at whatcanyoudocampaign.org.
Hi, I'm Olympic gold medalist Sean Johnson. I want to make sure you know about the March of Dimes March for Babies. This walk is really special to me. I was born with an Apgar score of 0, which is not an ideal way to start. Every day, babies start life the same way, with the odds stacked against them. Their first steps are made possible by ours, all of ours. Take the first step at marchforbabies.org. Let's walk together for stronger, healthier babies.
With the American Academy of Pediatrics, I'm Dr. Don Schifrin. October 8th through the 14th is National Fire Prevention Week, a great time to brush up on fire safety skills. We've all heard of stop, drop, and roll, but there's also the first up, last out rule. This method was developed after studies revealed that children don't always wake up when a fire alarm sounds. Even if they do, they're often disoriented and confused by the noise and commotion. Under these circumstances, children may decide it's safer to hide under the bed or in a closet than venture out into the darkness and smoke. First up, last out aims to avoid that situation. When a smoke alarm goes off, the first person up, usually an adult, is responsible for finding and ushering everyone out of the house. So while a working smoke detector more than doubles your chance of surviving a fire, it is also important to ensure that no one gets left behind. And for more information on children's health and safety, visit www.aap.org. With a Minute for Kids, I'm Dr. Don Schifrin.
Don't miss a minute. Listen at your leisure, always online and on demand at RadioMD.com. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
Brought to you weekly by Morning and Night Multivitamins and YouBeauty.com. Straight talk from the docs. Dr. Arthur Perry with Dr. Mike at about 35 past the hour. But time now for What's Toxic and What's Not with Dr. Gary Ginsberg. His website is whatstoxic.com. Hey, thanks for being here. It's spring. It's Lyme disease season. It's tick season. And let's get into that right away. Pretty topical. And you speak from experience today, right?
Yeah, well, you know, people think that a toxicologist from Connecticut is, of course, going to talk about Lyme disease because it started here We've got a lot of the vectors that are carrying the disease in Connecticut, but it's a misnomer to think that it's just an East Coast problem, just a Connecticut problem. Just because Lyme happens to be in Connecticut, people may not realize that LYME is actually the town where it was first discovered. It is in Connecticut, but now it is recognized to be all across the Northeast. They're finding outbreaks of it in places like India. So the spirochete bacterium has spread through ticks all around the world. We think that it's related to the deer population because these are deer ticks. These ticks do feed off deer as well. But anyway, yeah, I was out clearing brush the other evening, and the next day I found these things. They felt like hard scabs on my body. And it's kind of grossed out when you realize that this hard scab isn't really a wound that's trying to heal, but it has legs on it, and it's filled with your blood. And so, not to gross your audience out any further, I went to a clinic to get them pulled out because some were in hard-to-reach places. I could feel it and sort of feed in the mirror, but I was not going to do that kind of surgery. Anyway, tweezers, sterilized tweezers, with some alcohol to sterilize the body part as well. And I also like to anesthetize the tick. It lets go a little bit if you swab it with alcohol as well. And anyway, but in this case, I had the clinic nurse take them off of me. And then I did take a couple of doses of antibiotic, doxycycline, because if you do get infected, if they're on your body long enough for these buggers to get engorged with your blood, then they probably have been on you long enough to inject into you the spirochete bacterium that does lead to...
How do you tell... How do you tell if they're engorged with blood?
Because they are very small. They're tiny when they're not engorged with blood. So when you come in from hiking, you should look for them or have your...
How big do they get?
Like a pinhead when they are not engorged, and when they are engorged, it looks like about a third the size of a dime. I mean, it's like a small round scab.
You got to be kidding. They're that big when they get?
Yeah. They get
oh, I thought that was the reaction around them. I didn't realize that was them you were talking about.
So then... If you end up getting a reaction, a circular loopy inflammation, a red circle around the bite itself, that may indicate that you need to see a doctor and take more antibiotics. That could be a sign that the arthritic and the feverish symptoms are on their way, and the antibiotics didn't do their job. So I think it's a really good idea whenever you get a tick bite. If it might be a deer tick, it might be the one that carries Lyme disease, and to get it checked out and take the antibiotics prophylactically. There's very few side effects with the antibiotics. You know, you can take some probiotics so that it doesn't upset your tummy too much, and then you know you'll be safe because there are very damaging long-term sequelae. Or effects.
So the way you protect yourself, and it's good we don't have them here yet in Cleveland or Cleveburg or around here, and many parts of the country don't, but obviously Connecticut and Lyme, Connecticut, I'm glad I learned that today.
I don't live in Lyme, Connecticut, but it's all through the Northeast.
Right, in the Northeast, and the key is when you go out, make sure the socks are over
the pants.
The pants, so that essentially I wore double socks and double pants, and you take them off separately when I went for a hike. And, you know, I said when I was with my sister in Poughkeepsie, New York, they have a lot of deer and deer ticks in that area. So I double closed. Essentially, I said, I'm going to get hot if I go for a walk, but that's okay.
Right.
I don't want any deer ticks.
And it's essentially from now, from early to mid-April, on through till, I'd say, mid-November, at least in this climate, until you get really good hard frost, that they're active. And you think that it's just from the ankles down and they're climbing up your socks, but actually they like to perch on brush and they will jump on you, your waist, your shoulders. They may try to climb in around your, or an open button around your neck. So you do really have to check your entire body, because it's not just from the socks up. What we recommend to people, if they're going to be in tick areas and hiking or clearing brush, is that they spray on their clothing, not on their body, but they spray on their clothing DEET, which is off, or it comes under many different mosquito repellent brand names. And that, the ticks don't like it, and that does tend to work, and you're not getting a much of a dose yourself. And DEET is, you know, when we talk about what's toxic and what's not, DEET has a pretty good profile. We just worry with DEET about the real little ones and keeping it away from their mouth and their face. But for everyone else, DEET is fine, and use it to keep those ticks off you.
All right, and don't forget we have a mosquito season coming up, too. So we've got to keep an eye on mosquitoes for Triple E, right?
Exactly, Triple E, but also West Nile virus.
Right, West Nile, right. You're absolutely right. Okay, got about 2 minutes, Dr. G, to talk about some problems still exist with folks who were victims of the World Trade Center.
Yeah. This story is probably not going to go away anytime soon, because some of these conditions have a latency period, and the studies are just now starting to bear fruit. So we're looking now at the responders and the recovery workers from the disaster that was the World Trade Center 9/11. And these folks went in and had to clean up or had to haul people out of there during it. But, you know, they were getting heavily exposed. Now, we know that firemen do have, as an occupational hazard, exposure to higher levels of toxic chemicals such as cyanide, which are the result of fires. And so they have more heart conditions, more respiratory conditions, in general, because of their smoke inhalation. Well, these 9/11 workers, whether they were firemen or whether they were policemen or whether they were cleanup crews, who some of them were wearing protection against the dust and the grime and just everything that was coated onto surfaces, and some of them weren't wearing any protection because it was an emergency. Well, a study was just done of various people that are part of this cohort, and found elevated rates of a couple of different kinds of cancer. Very interesting. Thyroid cancer came up, as well as prostate cancer, two hormonal cancers. And the kinds of chemicals that they were exposed to run the whole gamut, from lead and heavy metals and asbestos. I haven't seen mesothelioma pop up, which is a hallmark for asbestos, but some of them are endocrine disruptive, especially dioxin. And what you worry about with fires is the generation of probably the most potent carcinogen we know about, and that's dioxin. And so that can damage the thyroid and create thyroid problems. So very interesting results, and there's going to be more to report. And if you ever are in a fire, try not to breathe in the smoke or get exposed to the dust afterward, because it can contain carcinogens.
That's Dr. Gary Ginsberg. Check out his website, whatstoxic.com. Toxic things and things that aren't toxic. So some may surprise you, but it's a good thing to go to the website and check those things out. Coming up next at Straight Talk from the Docs, Dr. Arthur Perry. We'll be checking in, and stick around for that. Don't forget udocs@gmail.com, youdocs@gmail.com. Any questions for Dr. Mike or Dr. Perry or any of our guests along the way? And thanks for listening today. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Michael Roizen on Radio MD. Stay well.
My story may help you. This is what happened. I was talking to my best friend. I told her I wasn't feeling like myself. I had pain in my pelvic area and bleeding that wasn't normal for me. Since it had gone on for a couple of weeks, my friend said I had to go to the doctor. Of course, she was right. Turned out I had uterine cancer, a type of gynecologic cancer. To make a long story short, by realizing something might be wrong and seeing my doctor right away, I received treatment. Now, we're confident I'll be fine. Please, please listen to your body. If something doesn't feel right for 2 weeks or longer, see your doctor.
Uterine, cervical, ovarian, vaginal, and vulvar cancers are all gynecologic cancers. Signs and symptoms are not the same for everybody. So get the facts. Get the inside knowledge. Call 1-800-CDC-INFO to learn more.
Knowing can make all the difference in the world. It did for me.
A message from the Inside Knowledge Campaign and the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
With the American Academy of Pediatrics, I'm Dr. Don Schifrin. The U.S. is experiencing an increase in the number of cases of whooping cough. This is a serious illness caused by pertussis bacteria. It often starts with what seems like a common cold. Then, especially for toddlers, the cough worsens and leads to the characteristic whoop sound on inhaling. During this phase of the illness, which usually lasts more than 2 weeks, the child can get short of breath and the skin around the mouth may turn blue. Older children may cough so hard they vomit. The illness can be particularly deadly for infants who can develop complications such as pneumonia and seizures. Whooping cough is highly contagious and can spread to children who have not been vaccinated. The best way to prevent this dangerous illness is to be sure your child received all doses of the pertussis vaccine. This is usually given as the DTaP vaccine. And for more information on preventing whooping cough, visit www.cisp.org. With a Minute for Kids, I'm Dr. Don Schifrin.
Hi, I'm Dr. Regina Benjamin, U.S. Surgeon General. As a family doctor, I've seen the terrible impact of a premature birth. Losing a baby is one of the hardest things a family can go through. As Surgeon General, I see the toll that premature births have on our nation. It can cause lifelong disabilities. It is the leading cause of death in newborns. And our country has one of the highest rates of preterm birth in the world. We must do better. Hospitals need to ensure that babies are delivered early, only when medically necessary. We need research to find the causes of premature birth and research to find new ways to prevent it. Couples need to learn the risk of premature birth and what they can do to have a full-term baby, such as getting a preconception checkup. Remember, 40 weeks is a full-term pregnancy, and every week of pregnancy counts. Let's work together for stronger, healthier babies.
I didn't think it was anything.
I had pain in my abdomen. It just wouldn't go away.
I was spotting, but I had already gone through menopause.
These symptoms may be nothing, but they could be early warning signs of a gynecologic cancer, such as cervical, ovarian, or uterine cancer.
Seeing my doctor probably saved my life.
Warning signs are not the same for everyone. If you think something's wrong, see your doctor. Ask about gynecologic cancer. Call 1-800-CDC-INFO for more information. A message from the Inside Knowledge Campaign and the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
This is Tour de Cure, and it's more than just a bike ride. It's a celebration. It's where every turn of the pedal helps stop diabetes. Where cyclists of all levels come together to make a difference, to raise money, and to raise hope. It's the ride of your life. It's Tour de Cure. Register today at diabetes.org/tour. That's diabetes.org/tour.
And now back to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. And now joining Drs. Roizen and Lonzer is renowned plastic surgeon, Dr. Arthur Perry.
Arthur, did you know there's a problem with cucumbers? You know that cucumbers have caused disease. I wonder if you put them on your face. You know, I see people put cucumbers on the face after they get exfoliation. Do you think they get infections of the face if the cucumbers are contaminated
with salmonella?
I bet they do. And now, isn't that salmonella from the farm workers who do not wash their hands in the field? Don't they? Aren't they the ones that spread the salmonella?
Bridget.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She's eating now. I mean, what the heck? She's on a radio show. She was doing her nails earlier. Now she's eating. There's a lot, you know, I can't believe this.
I'm eating walnuts.
How much are you paying her?
Whatever it is, it's too much, right? Anyway,
hey.
Arthur, let's go about this. Speaking of facelifts and making your face look more beautiful, what's the story about, I hear about stem cells. You take... Someone harvests your stem cells, grows them for a while, and then puts them on your face.
Well, Mike, as a scientist, you would think that's what a stem cell facelift is, right? That people are really getting those stem cells. But Mike, this is a 2013 fraud. It's the fraud of the year. And I'm ashamed that so many plastic surgeons have hopped onto this fraud. Here's what they're doing. They're taking...
Hey, wait a second. This one came from a medical school in New Jersey, the ad.
Well, we don't want to mention the person's name. And no, it's not a medical school. It's just a plastic surgeon out there, not full-time
faculty.
But he's
associated with a medical school.
Well, a lot of people are, right? They have volunteer faculty appointments. But let's not name him, because he's not the only one. There are actually dozens, if not hundreds, of plastic surgeons around the country that now advertise their stem cell facelifts. They advertise them. And they say that, well, this is a facelift that doesn't involve cutting. This is a facelift which will rejuvenate your face. And it's, frankly, fraud. And here's why it's fraud. First of all, if it were truly a stem cell facelift, Mike, if we were really putting stem cells into the face, I'm not sure, and you're probably not sure, what on earth they could do. What would they really do? Because the problem with aging faces is, yes, the skin thins. Yes, the skin wrinkles. Yes, the skin sags, but not just the skin, but the fat and all the tissues, the muscle. So what on earth do people think that injecting these stem cells, these cells that have the potential to become any cell in the body, what are these cells supposed to be doing in the face? I don't know. But the truth is, they're not doing a stem cell facelift.
Wouldn't they be replacing old skin with new skin?
Well, I'm not so sure, because they're not really injecting those into the skin per se. They're injecting that underneath the skin. And you know, I don't think it's so simple that you can just simply replace a cell, is it? Where you can take an aging cell and think you're so skilled and lucky that you can inject a youthful cell to take the place and tell that cell to make your skin look better. That's a lot of fantasy as far as I'm concerned. And I think we're so many steps away from seeing anything like that. But, Mike, here's the truth. What most of these people are really doing is just doing a little bit of liposuction. They're suctioning out fat and reinjecting it into the face, something we've been doing for over 20 years. But the buzzword this year is stem cell facelifts, because they found that there are these progenitor or stem cells in the fat, a small percentage. So they're saying, well, let's just inject those things into the face, and now you've got a stem cell facelift. And people are charging, you ready for this? I hope you're sitting down, as much as $20,000 for this treatment.
That's a lot of money.
Where do they inject? Where do they inject the stem cell? Maybe I could do this. Where do they inject the stem
cell? I'm trying to straighten you out, Mike.
Where do they inject these?
All right. They're injecting these into the cheeks, into the nasolabial folds, all through the
Are they doing it with collagen? At least someone getting the other benefit?
No. You're getting the fat with some stem cells.
Are they anesthetizing the person to do the liposuction, or is it just lidocaine?
Oh, usually in this, it's lidocaine, but I'm sure some people go under generally.
Is part of this a double hitter, meaning they're doing the liposuction? They say, as long as we're doing this, we might as well inject these?
Usually not, because it's not a complete suction where I would do the procedure, let's say your belly or your thighs, very differently than when I'm harvesting fat. There we're going over a broad area, and we're trying to just get a certain, like a couple ounces of fat, maybe several ounces, as opposed to removing, you know, a couple pounds of fat. But Mike, here's the problem. First of all, the FDA does not allow this. They consider that if you're actually removing tissue and treating the tissue in some way and then re-injecting it, it is no longer a surgical procedure in the eyes of the FDA. The FDA is calling that a drug then. It is changed tissue, and they're calling it a drug, which requires, as you know, an application to the FDA for a new drug.
And so people should say, how do people protect themselves from this type of thing, other than saying, okay, stem cells surgery I shouldn't sign up for?
Well, first of all, the last bit of information that listeners need to know is that this whole subject that I'm talking about was reviewed in the journal Plastic and Reconstructive Surgery in the March issue, which I'm sure you all read, but I do. The conclusion, the last bit of the article, was basically that it is considered unethical to advertise and or perform a stem cell facelift. So very, very strong words for a medical journal, as you know. So here's the bottom line. If someone is advertising a stem cell facelift, go to their competitor. Do not go to them.
For anything.
It's that simple.
So if you see on their website that they do stem cell transplants, you should immediately go tell them no for everything?
Well, for facelifts.
What about anything else?
Well, don't forget, you can't, if you're unethical in one way, you know, I don't think you can divide your ethics and say, okay, I'm unethical in a facelift, but I'm very ethical in all my other procedures. You're either ethical or unethical. And I think if you're advertising a stem cell facelift, as that journal article said, you're unethical.
I agree.
Thank you, Bridget.
You're welcome.
So, what should we look for in getting a... we did a thing on these, what was it called, thread facelifts or something crazy? I can't remember.
Thread lifts, right.
Thread lifts. And they were a pile of manure, right? They don't help at all. They look good for a little hour or two while you've got edema, and then it goes away. Then the benefit goes away. What should one look for?
Well, see, that's the problem with plastic surgery, because procedures in plastic surgery, unlike every other field in medicine for the most part, the procedures are revealed on the 6 o'clock news as opposed to in the medical journals. And often it's several years after a procedure comes out before we realize that it actually doesn't work or might even be harmful. And the thread lift is a perfect example of that. It was several years into the history of thread lifts that we found out that they didn't hold up over time. We knew that as surgeons, and most of us stopped doing them early, but the journal articles took a long time. You know, the bottom line, Mike, you have to find a surgeon who you like, who you trust, who's trained at good places, and above and beyond everything else is honest, and critical. And then put your faith in that doctor, just like you do with a pilot on an airplane.
When we come back, Arthur, there's a very big topic that's very topical at this time of year. That is, what type of chemical sunscreens should we use? And is the zinc oxide still the best? Or are there other things one looks for on these labels to help us avoid a problem, since I think more than 50%, you said, have endocrine disruptors in them? We'll be right back on You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. This is the You Beauty segment with Dr. Arthur Perry, Master Plastic Surgeon.
You tune up your car and change the oil when it's running sluggish, right? Well, then how come when you're feeling low and sluggish, you aren't doing something about it? D-Herbs can help with their full body cleanse or dozens of other healthy all-natural supplements and products. It's time to finally do something for you. Take a look at D-Herbs quality all-natural products and you get a free gift. Famous D-Herbs all-natural all-herbal cleansing tea and an ebook with important life-changing information that you can download. It's called The Power of Cleansing. You can heal from any disease. Just go to freedherbs.com. That's free, the letter D, herbs.com, and claim your free herbal cleansing tea. You just pay a small shipping fee for that. And then you can download your free ebook on the wonders of healing cleansing. You'll also get a 15% off discount code if you should decide to make a purchase. Free gifts for you, plus a special gift of better health. freedherbs.com. freedherbs.com.
If you know the symptoms and get the facts, you'll know the signs of a heart attack. Women, listen to me, and when I'm done, if it sounds familiar, call 911.
Pain in your neck, chest,
arms, or jaw,
shortness of breath,
please tell us more. Cold sweats and nausea, tiredness,
it's time to take it serious.
Back pain, stomach pain, shortness of breath, cold sweats, nausea, dizziness. If you know the symptoms and heed the signs, you'll be around for a long, long time. Women, listen to me, and when I'm done, if any sound familiar, call 911.
Learn a song that could save your life. Get a free download at womenshealth.gov/heartattack.
Women, listen to me, and when I'm done, if any sound familiar, call 911.
If any sound familiar, call 911.
A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
I am a face of influenza.
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 We all are faces of influenza.
I'm a mom. And I'm a face of influenza. Health officials now recommend everyone 6 months of age and older get immunized against influenza this
and every year.
Vaccination is safe and is the best way to help protect yourself and your family from contracting and spreading the flu.
We all are faces of influenza.
See your healthcare provider about getting immunized. The American Lung Association urges everyone 6 months of age and older, and we mean everyone, to get vaccinated.
Visit facesofinfluenza.org.
Influenza is serious. So are we. Get vaccinated.
With the American Academy of Pediatrics, I'm Dr. Don Schifrin. Kids often test parental limits and rules, and sometimes parents decide enough is enough. That's when a timeout may be effective. Timeouts stop children from getting attention after they misbehave. Timeouts work best for children between the ages of 2 and 5, but can be effective for kids as old as 10 in some cases. A rule of thumb is 1 minute of timeout for every year of your child's age. For example, a 4-year-old would get a 4-minute timeout. Some guidelines for a timeout. Give the timeout immediately after the unacceptable behavior so your child knows why she's being disciplined. Explain clearly why the behavior was unacceptable. Calmly place your child in a quiet, boring, but secure place. If she gets up, quietly explain that her timeout isn't over and return her to her seat. When it is over, wipe the slate clean and remember to praise your child each time and every time she shows acceptable behaviors. With a minute for kids, I'm Dr. Don Schifrin.
And now back to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. Here are the U-Docs, Dr. Michael Roizen and Dr. Arthur Perry.
Arthur, now there's an important piece of data. We need to use skin block every day, but especially in the summer, right? Because the summer has the sun closer to us, which gives us more of those lights, and we tend to more of those rays, and we tend to spend more time outside in the summer because it's warm enough for us to do it.
That's right, and we should all
be using... Of course,
using...
I should say those people in Tampa and L.A., we've got some listeners in Phoenix and Scottsdale. We have radio stations all over the country, so for them, it's important all times of the year. But for us in the Northeast, it gets really important now.
Absolutely. And sunscreen is a very, very important thing for us, Mike, but might not be as safe as you think, as we all thought. There's a lot of different issues with sunscreen, and not all sunscreens, though. You know, there are 17 different sunscreens that are approved by the FDA, and 15 of those are the clear chemicals, and 2 of those are the physical. You know, the white sunscreen, zinc oxide and titanium dioxide. The 15 of the clear ones, they're the more common ones. And they're very common because they're easy to use, they're invisible, they're very, very inexpensive for the most part. So they sound like the perfect sunscreen, except for the fact that they get absorbed in your body, Mike. And when they get absorbed in your body, it might not be the best thing for you. Can you think?
Why not?
Well, 8 of the 15 chemical sunscreens, 8 of the 15 are called endocrine disruptors. They're endocrine disruptors.
What do we look for to avoid those 8?
Mike, it is these names. They're not easy names like chocolate and vanilla, right? They're not that way. These are very, very complex chemical names, like, you know, patamate might be the easiest one. Benzophenone. They're names that the public...
So shouldn't we look for ones that just say nanoparticles of zinc oxide?
Well, we don't want nanoparticles. We don't want... You know, nanoparticles aren't the best either.
Well,
maybe.
What do we want now?
Okay. Well, the simple answer and the easiest answer is getting right to the point, zinc oxide and titanium dioxide are sunscreens that stay on the surface of the skin and do what they're supposed to do. They reflect light. Interestingly, the chemical sunscreens need to get absorbed in your body to work. They actually have to be absorbed. And if you put the right amount on your body, Bridget, you put 1 full ounce of these things on your body, there's no drug that you take in that quantity. When they're in your skin, if you really get into the physics and the chemistry of these chemicals, which can be a little boring for listeners, but I'm going to tell you, in order for the chemicals to work, they have to be changed by ultraviolet light. They absorb the ultraviolet light, and they undergo a chemical change, and they generate what's called a free radical. Now, those of you who know what free radicals are, you know that you don't want those things in your body because they can cause damage to your cells, including DNA damage. And while it's hard to say that these things actually cause cancer, if we connect the dots between what they're doing, being absorbed, having free radical generation, and other effects of endocrine disruptors, you can draw a conclusion that you know, a lot of people may agree with, but some people may not, because it is not, you know, there hasn't been a study, Mike, that said these things cause cancer. But there's enough evidence out there that I advise my patients, don't use the chemical sunscreens. Just don't use them. Use the physical sunscreens. We have good alternatives. So that's my here we are almost at May 1st. People are really going to start using these things. That's my advice to people.
So what are the alternatives?
Well, the alternatives are zinc oxide and titanium dioxide. Now, the reason they are not as popular as the chemical ones, the simple reason is that they cost more. They cost more. And also, the second reason is they're not as nice. If you've ever put those things on your skin, you know, you have to rub them in, to really rub them in. Yeah.
They're not very user-friendly.
Yeah, and so in order to get to more user-friendly ones, you have to spend a little bit more money. But this is a very, very important problem. And I actually think that using the chemical sunscreens is worse than using no sunscreen, because if you didn't use a sunscreen, most of us would crawl out of the sun after about 20 or 30 minutes because you start feeling lousy. So, the physical sunscreens are what I strongly recommend. So go out and buy yourself zinc oxide.
Okay. Now, does Dr. Perry's website have one on it by any chance?
Well, actually, yes. Coincidentally. Although, it sounds a little self-serving, though. But the honest truth is, I created the sunscreen with zinc oxide because of exactly what I said. Because I do not trust the other types of sunscreens. My sunscreen is called Daytime. It'll be ready May 29th, Mike. It's not quite on the market yet. Almost.
So that's the one I can get and use.
Yes. That's an SPF 20. 20
and
is what
now
we're
it
getting
doesn't have, you said it doesn't have nanoparticles. What does it have?
It's got what's called micronized zinc oxide. It's a little bigger particle. The truth is, nanoparticles are just fine unless you put those nanoparticles on open wounds or poison ivy or something like that. They just did a study. Even if you put it on sunburned skin, it still is okay. It doesn't penetrate through sunburned skin. It stays on the surface.
What about makeups with SPF?
We've got to go. Oh, let's do the tip of the week. Mae West once said, "Every man I meet wants to protect me. I can't figure out what from. Well, we know what we want to protect your kids from: diphtheria, flu, measles, meningitis, mumps, pertussis, whooping cough, pneumonia, polio, rubella, that's German measles, tetanus, chicken pox, and a whole bunch of other things, like, if you will, some of the things that cause cervical cancer. Unfortunately, there's widespread anxiety about vaccinations. We know you're trying to do the right thing for your child, but rumors spread across the internet that vaccines cause disease, that natural immunity is better and safer than vaccination, that newborns aren't ready for vaccinations. We want to be very clear. We've interviewed more than 150 experts on every side of the issue for you having a baby and you raising your child. The bottom line, vaccinations aren't perfectly safe, but they have many more benefits than risks. So the benefits vastly outweigh the risks. See about getting a vaccination for your child, getting the appropriate vaccinations, and for you too as you grow older. And that's the Real Age Tip of the Week. We hope, and thank you all for listening. We're right at the end of our time. Hope you come back next week. Is that right, Sona? Are we right at the end? We have 60 seconds. So I should take one more question for Arthur. Arthur, are you on? What about makeup with SPF in it?
No good. And the reason it's no good is because no one except Joan Rivers puts enough makeup on to get that SPF. That's the problem. You know, it's measured in a laboratory, and you have to put a lot on, and no one does it. So when you just put a fine layer of makeup on, you're not getting the SPF that you think you're getting. So you cannot rely on that. Joan can, but you can't.
Darn. I was
thank you all for listening. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show on RadioMD.com. If you miss a show, you miss a lot, but you can always get it. Go to the RadioMD.com website and look for the archives of the show. Sonar, great engineer. You, Bridget, for wonderful comments. Arthur and Joe Galuski and our guests, of course. And you for listening. Thanks. We'll be back with a new show next week, as usual.
Hi, this is Melanie Cole, show host here at Radio MD and a mother of two. I want parents to know about Great Start Life Insurance offered by Guarantee Trust Life Insurance Company. Great Start ensures the future insurability of your children. Now, what does that mean? Too often, people will get an illness or an injury at some point in their lives that afterwards can preclude them from receiving life insurance, and that can cause a lot of problems. But by insuring your children now with the Great Start Plan, the insurance that grows with your children, they'll already be insured regardless of future illness or injury. Find out all about the great benefits of the Great Start Plan. Go to GreatStartGTL.com and see for yourself why Great Start is, well, a great start for your kids. Peace of mind at GreatStartGTL.com. That's GreatStartGTL.com. For the Great Start Plan, go to GreatStartGTL.com.
Plan not available in all states. Life insurance underwritten by Guaranteed Trust Life Insurance Company, Glenview, Illinois.
Sometimes people buy cookies as a gift for us to send to our soldiers. They tell us it reminds them of home.
Emily is one of thousands of Girl Scouts who will send cookies to troops stationed overseas.
Children shouldn't have to take abuse because they aren't strong enough to escape it. I want to give them a helping hand.
Alicia uses proceeds from her cookie sales to provide mentoring programs at a shelter in her community.
Selling Girl Scout cookies has taught me how to manage money, be responsible, and talk to other people.
Tanya wants to go to business school and hopes to run her own company someday.
On a visit to the food bank, I learned that in this economy, more and more people need help to feed their families.
Morgan and other Girl Scouts are starting a project to help get food to those who need it most. Every Girl Scout cookie has a mission, to help girls do great things. Find your cookies now at GirlScoutCookies.org.